your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet, everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, tonight we'll be stirring it up with a master stirrer, Christian Day. Now, Christian's a modern-day warlock living in the Crescent City of New Orleans, Louisiana. Both an initiate and practitioner of the ancient arts of witchcraft, Christian sees his practice as both a spiritual priesthood devoted to the magic of the old gods and the practice of old world folk witchery, healing, communication with the dead. And along those lines, the last time Christian was here, a very long time ago, we were talking about his book, The Witch's Book of the Dead. But tonight we're going to be talking about something a little bit livelier. And that is an event put on by Christian, Brian Kane, and the Hex Education Network coming up in February, which is WitchCon Online. Now, as always, questions and comments from my guests are welcome, but you have to be listening to the live show and be here in the Para-X chat room, and you can find us at paraxradionetwork.com. Christian, you were long overdue for a visit, and I'm glad you were able to touch base recently. And thanks for finding time, because I know with WitchCon just around the corner, there's probably 1,001 things that need your attention. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're most welcome, Marla. I'm happy to be back. I'm just looking at your show. How do I find the chat? I just posted the link for everybody to listen live.
You come into paraxradionetwork.com.
Okay, I'm there. Now, where's the chat?
Here
we go. You'd think after being a web developer since 1994, I might actually have a clue about how to do these things.
I'm not saying a word. Now you're going to have to turn off the volume.
Oh, what's the volume?
There's a green button. There's a green square on top with a little arrow in it. You click on that, and then you won't hear the show.
Oh, okay. I think the volume's down anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it for a minute, but that's cool. All right. We're good?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Nope, it's still on.
I'm not hearing it. All I hear is the drumming from Mardi Gras in the way background.
No.
I got the sound. I'm even going to pause it. No, I've got it paused. There's nothing coming out of my browser, and I have the sound turned off on the browser.
Okay, good, because I was hearing myself, and that was kind of creepy.
Are you still hearing yourself?
No.
Yeah, but part of that's because I'm on you are coming out of my computer speaker, which means you're feeding back into the microphone, because I'm using an omnidirectional laptop mic.
Okay.
The headset would have eliminated that.
All right.
But I don't have a headset on.
Okay.
Switch to a phone.
No, that's fine. I mean, if you're in the chat room, guys, we're having fun here. look up. You're in the chat room. Now look straight up to the top where there's a big pair of X, and then there is a green box up in the right-hand corner in that red strip.
Yeah.
If it has two lines up and down, that means you're on. Click it again, and then it'll turn into a triangle.
Yeah, it's the triangle.
Yeah, so it's at the triangle now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no sound coming out of the browser, because if it, there were, it wouldn't be in sync with your voice coming through this.
Okay. Well, all right. We're good. I'm not hearing it now.
What you're hearing is you coming through my speaker, feeding a little back into the microphone.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not hearing it now, so I'm going fingers crossed, and let's just, people are laughing at us. I bet they're, especially me, because I don't know anything. But let's talk about WitchCon. What's the genesis of WitchCon? When did it start? Was it a regular thing before it was online? Tell us about it.
Well, it was a couple of things. When we first became refugees of COVID, much like so many other festivals in the magical world, with Hexfest, you know, which is hexfest.com, that's our annual conference that we have every August in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And because of COVID, we weren't able to do it in person. So like everybody else was, oh, we're going to have this online this year. And it was really depressing because, quite frankly, Hexfest is very much rooted in the spirit of place and magic of New Orleans. So to not have it there, you know, I felt was a real disservice to the event and to the people. And so right around the same time, you know, one of these annual pogroms that they hurl at me, you know, like I suddenly become, you know, whatever they want to call me this year. And, you know, that year they had decided, based on absolutely nothing, that I was a transphobe, which is very strange because I very much support trans rights in every possible way. And, you know, I totally agree with anybody's, you know, however you choose to feel or identify and manifest yourself in the world is your magic. Mm-hmm. So I would never be against that. You know, but that was, they decided this. And, you know, my there was an author, a Llewellyn author that lives in Ireland that I guess had hired my friend Lilith Dorsey, who's an author with Llewellyn, with Wiser, and with Warlock Press, which is our publishing company. And, you know, really harassed Lilith till she was so upset, you know, it released a lot of trauma for her and made her, you know, she was really, really not well for that period of a few days. And I was so irate at the idea that some person was being attacked in my name. Oh, well, if you're going to present at Hexfest, we're going to isolate you, you know, and I'm not going to have you write this article for my newsletter that you were supposed to write. And, you know, and they went around and they attacked Christopher Hughes till he stuck a knife in my back and a whole bunch of other ones. And so I sort of sat back. Like, well, you know, these people are going to, you know, everybody has a right. You know, if Hughes wants to be this way, be this way. But, you know, I am who I am. And so my attitude is, well, if they're going to attack 15 presenters and try to undermine my event with their cancel culture bullshit, what are they going to do with 100 presenters? So, you know, well, actually, I take that back. Originally, it was supposed to be 75. What are they going to do with 75? And then I didn't stop till I got to 100. And I was like, and they tried, you know, there were people that ran around and was like, and then Witch Doctor Utu, who's had his own bout with these cancel culture crazies, you know, he comes up with the best idea. He said, well, Christian, why don't you come up with profile pictures for WitchCon for every person? Of course, I know how to automate and Photoshop and all that, so it took me almost no time at all to generate 100 pictures. You know, do it under 10 minutes. And so all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, change your profile picture to your favorite presenter. And like Martha Gonzalez down in Mexico City has a huge following. So there were like 100 elegant ladies from Mexico all changing their profile pictures to Martha with the WitchCon banner. And so this went everywhere. And so, you know, we had, I don't know if it'll, I think we're a little down from last year, but not much. We had 631 paid participants and 700 and something with the presenters at this event last March 6th, I believe it was. And so I thought, well, wow, you know, wouldn't this be amazing if we could take this to a place that goes beyond A, being vindictive. Yes, there was a little bit of vindictive in that. Some of the best things I've ever done came out of that, though, I have to say. WitchCon, I said to myself, well, okay, how do I make this? You know, first off, we call it WitchCon Online, you know, to really differentiate. But how do I make this a built from the ground up online magical festival? And I said, what would take this out of the realm of all these other refugee festivals that go online, you know, escaping COVID? And I immediately went to, well, the internet allows us to be international. Mm-hmm. So then I set about, you know, we've got people from Brazil. We have people from Bulgaria. We have people from Mexico City, Australia, Canada, you know, all over the United Kingdom. Like, they're just, you know, and it's growing and growing in Brazil. It's growing and growing in that way that, you know, people are going to be here from all over the world. And I wanted to get people that you don't always hear from, not only people that were new voices, because I always like to uphold the new voices, but also, like, we got James Wainless, who did the Voyager Tarot, and he's not somebody you hear from all the time anymore. You know, and so it's like, well, these are the kind of voices I want to bring some of these people back to the fore that have done really pivotal work. And one of the ways that both Hexfest and WitchCon does this is by treating everyone equal within the zeitgeist for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to sit there and decide who's more important than someone else. Mm-hmm. Half these people, including me, think we're Jesus. You know, we all think we're great. You know, I don't want to be in the position of, well, you should be the keynote speaker because you're the biggest voice in the zeitgeist, when maybe I'm wrong. Because for me, it would always be Laurie Cabot and nobody else. Right. So, like, you know, what if somebody else thought somebody else was the main person? So we treat everyone gets paid the same at both events. But WitchCon, everyone gets paid for their time. We're the only festival that I know of that compensates everyone. Mm-hmm. And they even attack us for that. Oh, people only do their festivals because they pay everyone. We need to have a new model where everyone gets paid. I'm like, hello? I just gave you one. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, so it's just, I don't know how, after 34 years, I'm still sane. Maybe I'm not dealing with these people. But, you know, we wanted to take this into something that really explored different cultures. You know, we've got Georgi Mishev from Bulgaria teaching plant magic in Southeastern Europe. Wow. And these are things you wouldn't have even had, you know, 30 years ago when I was starting out. The Iron Curtain was closed. You didn't know what kind of magic was done in Southeastern Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, these things did not become available to us until, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union. And so, you know, to be able to reach all these different cultures, and we really try to prioritize people of color, because while some of these festivals, PCON, or should I say Pantheagon, which is gone, that would talk about being diverse, we're never really that diverse. Mm-hmm. It's always a bunch of white women sitting around talking about how they wish they were more diverse, where we just did it. You know, Diana Rachel snuck into Hexfest. You know, she came and didn't tell anybody, and she's an author, and this was in 2019, I believe it was. And then she went on her Facebook and said, I went to the Bad Kids Festival, and it was the most diverse festival I've ever been to. So, of course, I invited her. You know, we're both different. You know, she's very lefty politic, and I'm sort of skirting. You know, I'm mostly left, but you know, I'm here and there. You know, we have different ideas, but I really loved her passion and her voice. She ended up being the most popular class at WitchCon. She had the most views last year. I never would have pegged it, because I thought, well, my crowd, maybe they're not as into the activism. And that. Oh, no. She was such a rock star, and she's so humble about it. You know, she's just a wonderful communicator, incredible human being, and took the time to look past the hype of Christian Day, the devil, you know, of the pagan world, and saw my humanity, but more importantly, what I think she went far beyond was understanding that it's not all about me. It's the platform of these people's voices being lifted up. And so, you know, we try to really be very culturally diverse. And I don't do it in this sort of way that's like Pantheacon. We're like, we need to have a meeting to discuss how we can be more diverse and have like quotas and this. I'm like, no, I go out and I look for authentic content. Well, if I'm looking for authentic content on Santa Sima Muerte, well, doesn't it sort of make sense? You might want to poke in the direction of Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how about a Mexican person? You know, if I'm looking at hoodoo, I'm not saying I won't have a white person teaching hoodoo, but chances are I'm going to look for that. You know, and frankly, I've got people of African descent teaching European witchcraft because I don't look at people in boxes, you know. Why should you have to be like, well, I can only worship my ancestors? Well, first of all, any person of color in this country is going to be from all sorts of ancestry, including European. They get to pick whatever they want, you know. And so we try to really keep a diverse group of people and of topics. Yeah. You know what I mean? We want to really cross the boundaries of different things, you know.
Well, I looked at what was, you know, some of the presenters and some of the things, and I was very surprised that half the people I know are presenting there, which is good, like Tim Shaw, Miss Aida, Ellen Hopman, Lilith, Papa Hector, and, you know, Utu. I mean, it's really very diverse, you know. You've got quite a lineup. And also, in addition to the classes, there are online rituals and performances. And are you presenting as well this time?
You know, I was supposed to put a class in, so was Brian, and we never did. And now that it's like a week away, I don't know that if I'll be able to. But we are doing the opening ritual, and I've got to tell you something about that. Mm. Excuse me. When we did the opening ritual for the Hex Fest online, it had such a somber, sullen feeling because you knew everybody really wanted to be there in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, the dragon ritual drummers were great. You know, I thought the ritual was great, but it felt empty. And the participants didn't feel connected because we were all sitting there wishing we could have a painkiller, you know, no, whatever that thing, the hand grenade. You know, we want to have a drink. We want to go get some gumbo. Or, you know, we want to be part of New Orleans. We want to hear music, you know, with WitchCon. Because it was positioned from the very beginning to be something online oriented, that was a very different opening ritual indeed. Because I will tell you, people brought their televisions out into their backyards, big screen TVs, to have watch parties. So, you know, they pay for their admission and have all their friends come and watch the opening ritual with them. And people were posting as the drummers were drumming, how they were all drumming along in their backyards, getting involved, and just even people alone in their house going, I'm dancing around the room to the drummer. It was just, I was really blown away at how interactive this became in spite of the fact that we couldn't all see each other. Because it wasn't on, you know, I don't really like Zoom like some people do. When I'm teaching, I don't want to really see people. It's because it's not the same as seeing people in a class.
Right.
You know, as the guy from CNN that was jerking off in front of his coworkers on a Zoom meeting proved to us, people don't necessarily act like they're sitting in a class when they're on the Zoom. So, yeah, I don't want to see the lady picking her nose. So I sort of like the webinar platform of Crowdcast. What we use Zoom for is our virtual meet and greet. But for our opening rituals, you know, you're watching, but you're also participating. And I didn't realize the degree to which people were going to be that interactive. And I was completely humbled by it because it made me realize people needed this magic in their lives. They needed it to connect to them directly. And they allowed that energy into their living rooms and into their backyards. And it was just so wonderfully cohesive.
And, you know, I mean, was a presenter last year at Star Ravenhawk's Witch Fest, and I didn't know how it worked or anything, but it was kind of really amazing. And some of the most common questions that people asked were how to sign up for the various classes, what if they're not able to register for the class that, you know, for some reason, do they need to register prior to the event? Can it be the same day? So, you know, let's kind of explain what people do. How did they get there? How do they register and decide what classes they're...
I can't speak to... I think I did it online. The first year was on Zoom, but I didn't do it last year. I don't tend to do other people's things unless it's in person and somewhere I want to go. So, of course, if we decide we're going to do Witches Fest next year with Star, who's a friend of ours, it will be in person because I can go...
Well, She's doing it in person, too.
I can go to the Prada shop and the Versace shop, and I can do some shopping.
Astor Place, yes.
Right. So with WitchCon, with registration, it's done through the Crowdcast Network. Mm-hmm. So, how Crowdcast works, just one second. With how Crowdcast works, you know, they get to register for this conference. They get to watch up to however many classes they can see live. And the live allows them to participate because there's a chat. And there's also a Q&A box, which I really love because the participants can vote questions up or down. So when I'm actually the one presenting and looking at the Q&A box, you know, if 10 people, you know, if someone asks a question and 10 other people say, oh, I like that, you know, I want that question answered, and there's only two people for the other question, well, I'm going to start with the one that has the most people so the most people have their questions answered. But the beautiful thing about this platform that I think blows Zoom and these other things out of the water is that everything is automatically recorded. And so whoever has signed up or registered for this event is able to watch everything recorded. And the beauty of the Q&A box is, if the presenter uses it right, they can click start and stop on the answer. So, for example, if somebody asks me, you know, how many witches does it take to screw in a light bulb? I wouldn't know the answer. But, you know, and I answered and, you know, I click start and done. When someone goes to watch the recording, they can actually click right to where that question is answered in the video. Or they could just watch it, you know, play out over time. And so I've got people messaging me now saying, in anticipation of next week, I'm watching all the classes from last year, which are like over 100. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they get to see, not only do they get to see all these people live and participate, meet and greet, and shop online, because we're going to have live sales as well as, you know, product demonstrations in our virtual Vendorium. But they get to go back and watch it all again. And if they like a particular class that they really didn't grasp the first time, they can watch it five more times, you know, if they want to, you know, and until they really understand what the presenter is speaking about.
Yeah, it's on demand.
Right. So you essentially, for $99, you're buying a complete on-demand occult video library. Like, that makes it so worth it. Like, this, nothing is like this. You know, and it's one of the things that I wanted to take this to the level of. So, okay, we have this platform and we have this conference that's online. How do we make the fact that – how do we take advantage of it being online? You know, international presenters, on-demand libraries, you know, being able to watch recordings, being able to participate in Q&As. It's just there are so many aspects of this that one cannot accomplish in a physical space. Yeah. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, just not having to pay for each class individually is a blessing. I mean, How, I don't know what the going price is, but if you sign up for an online class, it's going to be at least $100 for one, you know, and well, now you've got $100.
I've done $40 for a 2-hour class, I think, you know. Okay. People might do $25 to $50 for a 1-hour class. These are 1-hour and 15-minute classes. And I think, like, we had a few people last minute that couldn't do it. There was like 4 or 5. So I don't know exactly what we're at right now. I think it's like 90 or whatever it is. But that's like, like 90 classes for $99 that you can watch as many times as you like. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other great thing about this that was very hard to do, really difficult, was the scheduling setup, because what we did was I went to hire this person on, I think it was on Upwork, and it was going to cost $3,000 or whatever it was. You know, can you write this application with time zones? And the person turned out to be a complete failure. So I literally had to teach myself enough JavaScript, which I'm really not that good at. Like, I'm okay at PHP programming, maybe 10% proficiency. It'd be like 2% for JavaScript. So I had to learn. Mm-hmm. It took me about 24 hours to do it over the space of time. And then it took me another 15 hours to fix it. But if you go to the schedule, it is in your time zone.
Yes.
So even if you're in Australia, one of the reasons that we moved the event to President's Day weekend was because, what do you call it? The first weekend of March or whatever we were doing before was at a time when you could almost often have a crossover of time zones.
Oh, you daylight savings time.
Right. So I moved it so that it's never at a time when daylight savings time happens. And so this thing will always just work. You know, and literally everything changes. So if you are in Australia, the first day might be Saturday instead of Friday, and it automatically adjusts everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you can read the schedule, and that's been really helpful for presenters, because especially the ones in Australia, it's like, I don't know when my class is. I says, it's exactly when it says it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought because I'm in Australia. Nope. It works. It was the most hellish things I ever had to do, but it works.
I noticed that right off the board, and I thought, wow, you know, because I've never seen that before. That, you know, it's always we have to do figuring and what time it is here. No, and
I had to do it. I did it. Like, I did all the figuring for you. And it was really hard. I have to tell you, that was one of the hardest. I think I broke down in tears at least 3 times. You know, because you don't have anyone to help you. It's like you almost paid $3,000 to some major mega JavaScript programmer who claimed he understood the moment library, which is all time, you know, management. And they failed. It's like, well, obviously I have no one. So I'm going to have to go on the internet every time I hit a snag and pray I found the answer. And there were times where it would take 3 hours of just sitting and looking and hoping I could find whatever it would allow me to do to make this thing happen. And it was so utterly miserably challenging. But it paid off, and it makes a difference, because everybody knows when their class is that's presenting, and everybody that's participating can really get a sense of how to plan out their event, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to the things they want to see. And, you know, some of the people you mentioned earlier, like, I was introduced to Miss Ada last year, later in the year, and I was so impressed.
Yeah.
You know, Utu has been hounding me for years about Tim Shaw. I just never got around to it. And then finally I got to know him, and I was like, well, this guy was everything Utu said he was. What a brilliant medium. Good. You know, and it's just like there's so many voices out there.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like, you know, the only regret I ever have is, you know, because I am that sort of controversy, there are some authors and presenters that just, you know, bash me all over the place. And so I don't ask them, you know, and some people say, well, why don't you invite them? And I'm like, well, because, you know, here's the thing. It's like the books. People get upset sometimes because I'm what was it? Somebody said I was weaponizing my capitalist control of the means of product delivery or some sort of thing, because I said I don't carry books that these people that disparage me write, not because I'm trying to ban books or anything like that. You know, people can go buy them somewhere else. I just don't carry them because my attitude is, well, okay, if someone who is a regular shopper at my store comes and buys this book and becomes a fan of that person online and says, oh, I bought this book from Christian Day, you know, and suddenly that person no longer shops with me,
yeah,
I basically sent that person a fan and gave them money so that they could take a customer away, and I'm not playing that game. So I just, you know, my attitude is if you're going to publicly disparage people, you're not really the kind of person I want to promote. You know, I get the whole, you know, the argument back, you know, Jason Mankey wrote a wonderful post, you know, saying, why do we waste our time? You know, and of course the usual suspects come in. Well, what about Nazis and fascists? It's like, of course we all want to speak out against Nazis and fascists. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if everyone the cancel culture crazy, you know, encounters, they think is a Nazi and a fascist, then what is a Nazi and a fascist? You know what I mean? If everyone mm-hmm. is, then either, if everyone is, then no one is.
Right.
You know, if everyone's an abuser, then no one's an abuser. Like if mm-hmm. everyone you don't like becomes every horrible, sort of like the old Carly Simon song about breakups. It happens every day, and she says, you know, you turn them into a liar, make them into a robber, you know, because you don't like this person, they are suddenly every evil thing that ever was. Well, that's great, but clearly I haven't been canceled yet, and it's not for lack of trying.
I'm on that happy note, we've got to take a quick break. So everybody stay put, and we will be back with Christian Day in about 2 minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned. Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witch's Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is Christian Day, and we're talking about WitchCon online. And we should kind of mention when it is and all that. So throwing it back to you.
WitchCon is February 18th to 20th, 2022. And again, those dates might change depending on your time zone. I mean, I'm radically different. If I say here, so I'm going to go and I'm going to look, I'm going to change my time zone to somewhere in East wherever. Pacific Tarawa. I don't know where that is.
That's a South Pacific somewhere.
Oh. Well, now it's February 19th, 21. So.
Okay. You know, yeah.
I guess when it is really changes based on where you are, because that was the 19th or 21. But, you know, for our time in America, it is February 18th to the 20th, 2022. But it really does vary. Depends on where you are. If you're I don't even know where Tarawa is, but if you're there, it starts on the 19th. so yeah, it's very much it begins with our opening ritual. Yes. And we've named all the rooms after the planets. Oh. So you have the Earth amphitheater, which is the big room, and then the seven planets make up the classroom. So you have the Sun Solarium, the Moon Garden, the Mars Chamber, the Mercury Atrium, the Jupiter Conservatory, the Venus Parlor, and the Saturn Library. And each of those rooms, we really try hard to feature classes that fit. Mm-hmm. Also, like the Mars Chamber, for example, Lilith Dorsey will teach the Tarot of Cruelty. Alexander Cabot is teaching psychic gifts in the Moon Garden. Liz Dean, who I have not heard of before, but once somebody pitched her to me, I said, God, this woman's written everything on tarot. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. From folklore to tarot, translating old rhymes and sayings into your tarot cards in the Sun Solarium. I don't know how sun that is, but I guess they picked it. Sun Solarium, who speaks for the gods? Mercury Atrium, we've got Sanctuary Smoke, like incense becomes a Mercury element. Mm-hmm. The Jupiter, we've got Scottish Herbs and Fairy Lore with Ellen Everett Hopman. My niece Angel Griffin is doing the magic and makeup in the Venus Parlor. So we are trying to keep it sort of, because like the Saturn Library, The Devil in Latin American Brujeria by Mortero Yamil, who's amazing. He's one of these newer voices I was introduced to from friends that, these up-and-coming occultists who just have such amazing things to talk about. And so I love to have a mix of, newer voices and those people that have been around a while and the ones that haven't been around for a while. Maybe you haven't heard from them in a while. And sometimes there are people that, have a certain controversy, like Ellen Everett Hopman, they tend to like to go at her every once in a while. And I don't follow that line of reasoning. Yesha Matthews, there's certain people that, Utu, they really mm-hmm. want him. There's these people that are like, let's cancel, and I don't play that game. And it's funny, no one ever tries. Like, no one has ever come to me and go, how do you have that person there? Because they know. They know that would last all of 5 seconds with me. What I mean? They would not be able to tell me who I'm going to have or not going to have. Because at the end of the day, it's about finding voices who have something of substance to say. And not just about who they are, where they've been, what they've written. Yeah, those things are important. I think credentials are hugely important. But sometimes you find those people that they haven't written a book yet, but they were raised in Brujeria, or they mm-hmm. they studied shamanism in Mayan, and I just spoke to someone who's studied Mayan shamanism for years, and they want to come in next year, and so wherever we can find these voices who are changing the game and upgrading it in some way, making, because there's so much of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And so with WitchCon, I really, really want to diversify. And I also want to show, quite frankly, I'm not going anywhere. These people aren't going anywhere. This is the magical community, and it's very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's people that I won't have, but they go do other places and other things. So, it's like, I think that wherever we can, we have to try to lift up the magic, and to show our success. I think, we often in our community criticize the successful, and we forget how important that is to our civil rights. Because, for example, if somebody comes into our shops and they're like, they go home. This is what's so great about Salem and New Orleans. We work as ambassadors of magic, because if people come into those shops and they get a psychic reading and they really enjoy speaking to whoever it is, and that person helps them with some magical workings, and they go home to wherever they are in Kansas and the backwaters of wherever, and they say, I met a witch, and she was really interesting and magical. And now the narrative of witchcraft changes from baby-killing Satanist to this woman that helped me with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're successful, all the better. You know, Phyllis Curat was amazing when she came out, because here's this high-powered entertainment lawyer, you know, in a DKNY pantsuit, you know, looking just spectacular. And yeah, a lot of people attacked her, like they did Fiona Horn, you know, just for dressing well. But at the same time, what it does is it socializes our religion. You know, like Laurie Cabot's always said, where is our Handel's Messiah? Why do we not have the kind of music and art that Christianity has? Because that is what helps people to understand and relate to us. Well, so does success. You know, so does being out in the world and showing ourselves as contributors to society rather than leeching off of it. You know, when people know witches can help them versus, you know, leech off of them, well, then now it's a different perspective. And that tells people that we are contributors. And it, in that, in turn, when it comes to that person in divorce court whose husband's trying to say, give the kids to me because she's a crazy witch. Well, maybe that judge just came to Salem and got a psychic reading and realized witchcraft isn't crazy. You know what I mean? And that becomes the difference between a woman losing custody of her children.
And, you know, one thing just popped into my head that, you know, WitchCon is not just for witches. I mean, everybody, they're going to find something that will be of interest in all those different classes that are going on. So I don't want people to make the mistake that you have to, you know, have the black pointy hat and a broom to get in.
But at the same time, that helps too.
Sure.
Let me tell you, a lot of people forget, I think how whatever your inner magical soul is who you are as a witch. But I also, as I wrote in my book, believe that that the spirits are attracted to the outrageous. Liberace was the highest paid entertainer of his day.
Mm-hmm.
He outdid Streisand and the Beatles in the 60s, and he didn't just do it with the living. Now, he wasn't a necromancer. He wasn't a witch, I don't imagine. I know someone who was very close to him. I don't think he was any of those things. But it doesn't matter. His energy was always a toll call from the top. And quite frankly, the spirits tend to avoid boring people. So there is something to be said for why, if you look back at history, the shamans, the medicine people, the tribal healers, they often looked different than everybody else. There has been this movement to sort of say, well, witches look like everybody else. Well, they can, but that doesn't mean they are like everybody else. They may be expressing their uniqueness in other ways. Maybe it isn't how they look. Maybe it's in what they do in their art. You know, one of the first witch walk things that I did, the tour with my niece Angel, and the first witch walk in Salem, which my friend Lorelei runs now, we went to the Roger Conant statue, and I talked about how the inner witch can sometimes manifest, yes, in pointy black hats and robes and everything else. And so this woman got real ornery about it on the tour, and she said, I don't see why you have to wear your religion on your sleeve. So I looked over at her. And she was literally, oh no, she was covered in ritual magical tattoos. And I said, well, I can take mine off. You know what I mean? And yeah. She got it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it's okay to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, wearing a black cape is like wearing a rainbow of magic that absorbs all the light around it and allows me to be more psychic. Do I always wear that? No. When I was in Egypt, I wore khakis. I was a little, you know, nervous. Maybe I don't want to push this culture too much by looking like the Liberace of witchcraft. So as I took our 5-star cruise down the Nile, I was in khakis and greens and whites, and I looked like the fat Indiana Jones. So, you know, yeah, there are times when you express yourself in different modes and guises, but magic is about creating illusion, reflection, and also truth. But you can do all of those things in different ways. And so the idea of what witches wear actually is very powerful. But again, I embrace it all. You know, your inner witch might not show in something crazily outlandish immediately, but then they go to your house and they see your artwork or your paintings on the wall, or maybe the music that you're singing and how it expresses that power and magic within you. Everybody expresses it a different way, mm-hmm. you know, but I do always tend to go in there and say, hey, for the cape, you know, because, hey, it's about creating an enigma, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And we all create it in different ways, and we all express our inner witch in different ways. And one of the things I love about doing WitchCon with almost 100 presenters is you're going to get that variety. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's cookie cutter about it. You know, we literally go, you know, as I'm looking at the schedule, I'm looking at Ashley Mortimer, who publishes Patricia Crowther's books, you know, so you've got the initiatory craft. You've got Charity Bedell, who's more of an eclectic witch with her powerful powders and dirt. You know, you've Michael Herkes, who I adore, you know, the glam witch, you know, and he's doing Lilithian astrology, you know, healing the shadow with the cosmic dark goddess. Everything is so varied. Mm-hmm. Claudia Valdez, Mayan Cosmovision and the Sacred Calendar. I don't know what that's about at all. I'll have to click into it. But, you know, that's the other thing. I don't get to see. I still haven't watched all the classes from last year. I'm so terrible.
There's a lot to do.
But we do have a woman of Hispanic and Mayan descent, of Mexican descent, who is teaching about her ancestors. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Mahali Matsapola. He reads out of Omen in New Orleans, and he's doing magic and activism. So we're talking about, you know, how to channel your magic into changing the political realities that we face in the world today.
Mm-hmm. You know, before I forget, why don't we give out the website so people can go over there and look and see who's doing what and what time and when and all that stuff and kind of dangle the carrot a little bit.
Well, the website for WitchCon is, it's easy, witchcon.com. And, you know, Hexfest is hexfest.com. But the real place to find everything is warlocksinc.com. You know, warlocks, I-N-C, because that really leads to everything else we do. And there's always something new going on. You know, we have, we do the 8 Sabbats at the back of Omen in Salem and Hex in New Orleans. And, you know, Brian and I just did the Candlemas tour because we had to do the Coven Candlemas here. Then we did the public Candlemas here. Then we flew up to Salem and we did private Candlemas with the Salem Coven there. And then we did a public Candlemas at Omen. So it was the tour of Candlemas. And, you know, so there is, there's always something going on. We did an Alexandrian soiree there, you know, because as I am an old folk witch, I'm also now an initiate. I'm not sure which bio you got because they do change. ChristianDay.com is where my most current one is, I believe. But I am also an initiate of Alexandrian witchcraft. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are always things going on and changing. And really the best place to start is Warlocks Inc., because, you know, we've got the new publishing company. You know, we're taking submissions for Warlock Press, and you know that we're really moving forward in a number of different directions, and all of them have one thing in common: lifting up magical voices, giving voices to new people that you may not have all heard about. You know, yeah, you know, there's some people will go to WitchCon and say, I don't know some of those people, or I don't know half of those people, and which is funny because you know a lot of them. You know, everybody has their favorites. It's like, oh, I don't see this one. But you know what? The ones that you don't know, you'd be amazed at how much these people will teach you and how fantastic these voices all are. And it just blows me away.
No, you know, and that's true because some of the guests that I have are first-time authors. You know, I have a lot of publishers that send out books for their new people and stuff. And I'm looking at it, I've never heard of this one and never heard of this one. Yep, we're taking them all, you know, because we're learning different things. You know, you can't stick to the same thing.
Your show, I don't know that I – was it pre-Charlie Sheen? Or, you know, can sort of divide my life into pre and post-Charlie Sheen was a warlock because, like, I had some publicity before that, but nobody really knew who I was, you know. And I – but I also like to do show – you know, it's like I like to do these things because they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't just do them for publicity. A lot of it depends on who I think it is. You know, there are people that ask, and I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do it. You know, and I tell them no, because, you know the conversation won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of know, well, is this going to be tedious or is this going to be interesting? You know, and I remembered having fun on your show, and I've had fun again.
Good. Well, yeah, and, you know, it's we never know. And sometimes, you know, with these new authors, it's their first book, and I kind of sit here and I get a little bit worried, and then, you know, we get them on ahead of time, and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous, I don't know what to do. You know, and I said, you're talking to me. Don't be nervous. You know, it's just like you're talking on the phone. Let's just have a conversation. I said, I'm not going to put you in a corner. I'm not going to ask you anything that you don't know, you know. And then they relax, and then it's good, and then they give all the stuff out that they need.
When I did the radio show years ago, I loved to ask those. I could ask some toughy questions, but I'm decades from, you know, I've been doing this kind of thing. God, I think Lori Cabot put me on some TV show when I was 20 years old. And, you know, so it's I'm long past that. But no, I think that, you know, you want to have a conversation that is respectful. Oh, I don't mind the tough questions, but, it, you know, I've done the occasional show where it's very confront, you know, they get you on there.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I love Howard Stern because even if he asks you a tough question, there's kind of a dude, let's have a conversation. It's not like he's trying to necessarily trap you, you know, unless you're a real jerk. But like, you know, it's very, you know, I love that kind of thing. I don't mind answering whatever you want to ask. But, I, you know, I always love, you know, that we're talking about, you know, things that people really want to know, you know. To know how to learn new aspects of the occult, and it you know, and I am very much like a DJ when it comes to these classes. I, you know, I want to really schedule in this variety so they're not feeling, you know, like it's all just sort of cookie cutter. I mean, one of the most popular classes, one of the four most popular classes, Oberon was one. Oberon's out. Lori Cabot, Diana Rachel. And this one, this will really get you. Pastor Phil Wyman, who is a Pentecostal minister, one of the most successful classes. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about, you know, like this year's class, fear and the suppression of deeper magic. Is fear a simple animalistic behavior suppressing the acts of both the magical and the miraculous? Is it based almost solely on our flight or fright chemical response and therefore undirected beyond survival instinct? Necessity may be the mother of invention, but it could be that fear inherently suppresses our creativity and therefore the deeper magic that comes with it. This is from a man that was part of the Four Square Gospel. God, I can't remember her name, but she, Amy Simple something.
McPherson.
Yeah, that church. And the one that Faye Dunaway played in the movie, of Amy, and he was part of that. He was excommunicated in 2004 for being friends with me. But, you know, he's still very much a Christian, very much about his faith. But he is able to, to integrate with witches and understand them on their level. So, of course, I'm going to have him. He's wonderful.
You know? And these people don't often get a chance to be in the limelight in any respect because, you know, there's always going to be naysayers and well, I don't know this person well enough, or, you know, I've heard about so-and-so from this person. You know, it just,
I'm the devil in half these people's stories. I guess I have to be okay. You know, eventually I found out that it was weird. We had this person stalking us for a while. And then I went in to buy this company Jeep. It was in November of 2016. And it was a year after that whole international thing where I supposedly called this little old lady in the night and, you know, called her names. And it's like, first of all, anyone that knows me knows if I'm going to call you in the middle of the night, I'm going to introduce myself. And, you know, so this was international and everything. So a year later, I go in to buy this company Jeep. And they said, well, where do you, I need a really good off-road vehicle. They said, where are you going off-roading? I said, the Treme neighborhood, you know, because it's got potholes, you know. And so I didn't know what I made at the time. We'd be incorporated for 2 years. And so I said, I called up the bookkeeper. I said, I don't know what we made this past fiscal year because I don't look. And she said, oh, $1.8 million. I nearly fell out of my chair, you know, because I was like, well, why don't I get all this money? So then I said, well, what about the year before? She said, 1.3. So I come out of it after buying the Jeep, and I looked at Brian, and I said, after the stalker, after this crazy phone calls lady, after all of these hullabaloos and cancel campaigns and everything else, we went up $500,000 in revenue in the year. And this not fiscal year, but calendar year 2021, we hit $3.5 million. Mm. So somebody's pulling out a credit card. You know what I mean? So all these cancel everything, it's such a waste of people's time. I mean, if they want to keep doing it to me, that's great. But what they're going to discover is they're taking the energy away from people that, A, need to be canceled, and B, they might actually have a chance of canceling. Because this, you know, this roller coaster keeps building higher. And, you know, it's a shame that people don't see all the time what it is we're trying to do. You know, they see the controversy, they see the looks, they see the pointy hat, they see whatever, but they don't see that we're trying to uplift the voices of the community. And, you know, Hexfest was our way of giving back. It wasn't profitable for the first 4 years. You know what I mean? And so we don't do everything we do for the money. We do it for the magic and the value, and then the money follows.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we look at it.
Well, I think everybody needs to go over and have a peek and see, you know. I mean, we've got Tim Shaw's fan club that needs to know what he's up to, God forbid. And there's just a whole lot of good things there. So one more time, where should they be going? What's the website?
Witchcon.com.
And the website that is the hub of everything, you guys, is
Warlockinc.com.
Okay. And so I think we're good to go. Well, I want to thank you. We got to run. Much appreciated talking about a really good event. And like I said, so many people are there. I was like, oh, I know her. I know this one. You know, half of the people I've had on my show are there. So it's pretty cool. So thank you for showing up and filling everybody in. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful night, and good night to all your listeners.
Yes, and thank you guys for listening in. And until next time, everybody, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2009.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.